Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in to Food for Your Soul. I am your host, Evangelist White, and today I am by myself. I just felt an urgency in my spirit to get on air and just speak about the goodness of God. If you will just bear with me for one moment as I tell you exactly what is taking place in our life right now. My son, Devontae, is 23 years old. He came to stay with us from Alaska in July of this, actually 2015. A couple of weeks ago, Devontae was telling us that, you know, he was just, you know, his back, you know, that's been going for about a couple of months. He was saying his back was hurting. Now, we kind of figured his back would be hurting a lot because in 2012, my son was shot and the bullet missed half inch of his heart, but it ricocheted and it pierced his lung. It blew out half his stomach and it hit his pancreas and his liver. The bullet is still in him. So when he would say he had back problems or what have you, we figured with him working and the bullet, that's probably what it is. So we just gave him Advil. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Devontae started this coughing, and it was a real dry cough, and then it just started, you know, getting a little bit worse. And I don't really like going to hospitals unless I really, really have to. And, you know, we just didn't really want to go. And so we were trying to give him over-the-counter remedies, you know. Oh, it's probably the flu. Let me give him Theraflu. Let me give him a little NyQuil, a little Robitussin, you know. But his cough turned into his heart racing. And it was racing almost three times of what a normal heartbeat should race. And so my husband said it's time to go ahead and take him in. Well, Devontae was hesitant about going to the hospital because he did not have insurance. And even though we're retired military, unless the children are in college, and even I think after 23, they can no longer be on insurance. So he did not have insurance. And I think that he may not tell me, but it's probably been going on a lot longer than what he said, but because of not having insurance, he tried to weigh it out. Thank you, Jesus. So we went into the emergency room, and we were there for a very long time. Now, I showed up at about 11 o'clock in the morning. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening, and they still hadn't called him back there yet. So I said, okay, we got to get ready tomorrow for church and different things. I'm going to go ahead and bring him home. You know, if it was something severe, they would have already came out and said something. So we're at home, and he gets back in the bed and, you know, lay hands and pray, and, you know, he was going to go to sleep. My husband and I start talking. Next thing you know, I go downstairs to check on him. Well, I noticed that my son is sitting up on a chair, but he's hunched over. And I said, Devontae, why don't you lay in the bed? He said, I can't. Every time I try to lay down, I gasp for air. So I came back up the stairs and I said, Curtis, I think I need to take him back. So I said, let me call first. So I called, and basically they said, you know what? We were just about to call him back. And it was 10 o'clock at night. So I was like, whoa. So I said, well, what do we do? She said, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and save this bed for him. Come on up here right now. And I said, okay. So rushed back to the hospital. I tell Pastor, stay at home. I'm going to just take him back up here. They're probably going to give me some medicine. They saved a bed for him, and I'll be back home. Don't worry about it. Well, when I get there, they take him in the room. I notice he doesn't have one, he doesn't have two, he doesn't have three, but he has four doctors. And a nurse comes in, and he says that he's about to run some more lab work and take another EKG. And I said, well, why? Because when we came in this morning, you already took lab work and already ran an EKG, and we have to pay for this. That's what I was thinking, if I can just be honest. And he said, let me go get the doctor. And I said, okay. So the doctor comes in, and she hadn't said nothing. She didn't come in telling me why she was doing the test. It was more of a trying to get a feel, maybe, of where my emotions or my son's were at the time. And she bent all the way down and she said, listen, he is sick. He's going into congestive heart failure and kidney failure. And so, of course, tears streamed down my face. We're taking him up to ICU right now. All right, I call my husband. He says, I'm on my way. I go up to ICU. And bear with me, because so much has taken place, and I'm trying to make sure that I tell it the way it was, and God gets glory in everything that I'm saying. Now, in 2012, my son was pronounced dead twice and came back. When I went to see him, he was in a coma. The doctor said he had a 10% chance of even making it. The bullet had hit so many vital organs that he would never be able to walk or perform certain things. But I know the God I serve, and so I did not believe that report. And I went in, and God allowed the faith that he has given me to be activated with the Holy Ghost. And as I laid hands, my son woke up out of his coma. Now, here we go again. The doctor said his kidney is in kidney failures, both of his kidneys. The average kidney is supposed to be about 10. Devontae's was very tiny. It was already 7. Not only, they said, was it damaged and weak, but it was still trying to work. I said, I don't understand. She said, well, this never really happens. When you go into kidney failure, your kidneys just break down. But his kidneys are still trying to fight. And so he was still being allowed to urinate in his kidneys, and his kidneys were still keeping his potassium, but it was not removing the toxin. And so they took a x-ray, and his lungs had fluid and blood, water and blood in it. His heart, where ours would be, you know, like closing as it goes, boom, 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 boom. His was like boom, 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 boom. And it was barely pumping. It was so weak. They wanted to work on his heart, but they were afraid because he had prior surgery there. They didn't know if that. Then they wanted to do his lip, but then, you know, they don't know if it was connected to it. So there was a waiting period. They had to keep running tests. His blood pressure when he came in was 200. So yesterday the doctor said, had it been someone older, they would not have made it. When your blood pressure is that high, you stroke out. And then she kept saying, right now what he has on his side is time. And I said, time and God. Yes, God on his side too. And so they wanted us to hurry up and sign a consent form to start the dialysis and to do. And I said, listen, can you give me a moment to go before God? Give me one day. I said, a lot has been hit with him today. And this was the other day. And I said, and let him just sleep and let me go before God in prayer. And I respect your professionalism. I respect it, you being professional heart and kidney doctors, and you know your craft. And please respect me being a professional of a woman of faith. And even though you are a kidney and heart doctor, you are practicing medicine still because you cannot still find an answer on what is taking place. And that's only because it has not been perfected. Only God can do that. Now, I carried my son, and I'm his mother, and you're caring for him. But God created him. And I have to give honor and ask God what to do in a time such as now. And the female that was the kidney doctor, she let me know that she was a woman of faith too, and that she understood. And my faith was allowing her to go ahead and not so much as make me a lie or prove my God wrong, but just allowing us to hold on to hope. And to make a long story short, we go in and Devontae has congestive heart failure and kidney failure and high blood pressure out of this world. And then my son goes into surgery to get the, he had to get the thing put in him over his collarbone for the dialysis to work. I don't know the terminology. I know it, but I don't want to mess it up, like the catheter or something like that. Before he was going in, he grabbed my hand, and I said, "I got you, baby," and, you know, telling him I love him. And my child said to me, "I feel sometimes like if I grab your hand, the faith that you have in God, the way you pray to God, it'll rub off on me." And my child had just rededicated his life back to Christ 3 weeks ago. And I know when he first was told the news, my son had become so hard from life, and I hadn't seen my child cry. And when they were telling him about him having congestive heart failure and his kidneys, he wept. He cried. And it was such a cleansing, I believe, for him. And I cried with him. And I told him, "I don't understand, but I trust God." And I did not want to allow my mind to sin against God in trying to figure out why, God, why would you do this? What happened? What did? I just needed to be able to trust God. And I called praying warriors around the world, and I thank you. I thank God for the man of God that I have. You talking about a man of faith that has stood by my son's side and my side, that has prayed and be able to answer questions and fill out paperwork when I was not capable of doing. The same man who just told me, "I'm going to stay up here with him right now. You go home, take a shower, get some rest." And to watch my son doing the dialysis, he's sleeping peaceful. His blood pressure has went down extremely. They came in to listen to his lungs and said the fluid is starting to come out. The headache that he was having went away. His ankles and legs were swollen. They went completely down. But his kidneys are still trying to work. And although they're weak, and although they're damaged, they're still trying to work. And the doctor said so many organs and your son has been hit from 2012 up until now in their major organs, but yet his body keeps fighting for him to live. And I just have to give God glory because he is so worthy. And then I get on Facebook and just share a testimony. I don't even ask anybody. And I have all these beautiful people from around the world wanting to be tested to give my child a kidney because he will need a kidney transplant. And to hear the doctor's last words tell me he's going to be fine. He's going to be okay. We just got to get his body back healthy. And although he's in ICU, although he has so many tubes in and out of his body, and although his sleep gets broken up every 30 minutes to an hour, my child is still laughing, thanking God. He asked me, "Mom, do you have my Bible?" I said, "I have my Bible." He said, "Can you open it up and just read me some scriptures?" I thank God that if nothing else, he gets glory and we remember that he is still a healer and he still works in miraculous ways, and all we have to do is have faith and trust. I am reminded of a few scriptures. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My son has a mandate on his life, and God still has a purpose for him. And this is his testimony. But I had to testify and tell about what I was watching perform before my eyes. My son's breathing at first, he couldn't even catch it. I just knew before my eyes his heart was going to fail. And if I can just be a mother, you're standing there with your child and you feel helpless at that time because when they were little and they coughed, you can tend to it. And when they cried, you could hold them. But when their body is grown and it starts breaking down, all I knew was God. And I am so thankful that God saw fit to be able to not just bring him through. And I got a text from my husband that his dialysis went fine. It went really well. And he feels good. He's sitting up and talking again. This is the God that we serve. His appetite is amazing. I mean, he's eating. Still got jokes. Still a little clown like his mom. But when I see God do everything full circle, and when I know that prayer does work, and when people say it does not take all that, it takes all that and then some. It takes me to consecrate and separate myself. It takes me to lay out before God and fast. It takes me to be isolated at times because it was reserved oil for a time such as now. Who knows the mind of God? Who knows what God is going to do and how he's going to do it? But he gets all the glory. And I said to God before anything was performed, God, I've known you to be a healer. I know what you did for him in 2012. And if God wants to, he can heal him. But even if he doesn't, he's still God. Even if he did it, I was still going to serve him. I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to tell him thank you for giving me an opportunity to be able to carry and have such a blessed and amazing son.
And because he belongs to God, hallelujah, and the devil cannot longer mess with him anymore. I thank God that I was able to serve the enemy. Notice. There is power in prayer no matter what you're going through. No matter what the doctor's report says, God always has the final say. I just believe that by his stripes we are truly healed. And I believe if God said it, then he meant it. And I believe God wants to continue to perform even more miracles. He wants to let us know that he is real, he is a true and living God, and that we are to serve him as such, that we are to tell the world, we are to tell someone that we know about the goodness of God, because I witnessed before my eyes a miracle. I was a mother that was on my knees, and I cried out to God, help me, Lord. Because my strength is trying to leave me. And I know I am a praying warrior. I know what you have placed inside of me. And I thank God that I could start feeling the prayers of people around the world. I felt your prayers. I felt the presence of God. I felt my strength. I was able to keep my emotions in line and be able to lay hands and touch and trust and speak God's word and stand on his word and be able to let the doctors know every time they wanted to come in and say, you know, his kidneys is doing magic. I said, that's God. When something inside of him, that's God. That's the Holy Ghost. I made sure we didn't leave it as it and that and magic and it's luck and no, it's God. It is God who can go inside, hey, hallelujah, the inward places and be able to allow the body to heal on the inside. Only God can do such a thing. Only God can perform such a miracle. And I just thank God, hallelujah, that even though he is not out of the clear, God gets the glory for what is going to happen, what is happening, and what the end result will be. And I just need a few of y'all to just praise God and just thank God and remember the times that he's healed you and remember the times that he healed someone else and give him glory. And I believe that when praises go up, blessings really do come down. And hallelujah is the highest praise. And I thank God for just being God all by himself. And if he doesn't do anything else for me, I just thank him for allowing me to be a woman of faith, of great faith. And it's a gift that only God can give. I love each and every one of you. I thank you for allowing me to share my heart. If nobody else tells you, God loves you, and so do I. I am your host, Evangelist White, and I am signing out. God bless.